Hey, welcome back. Don't leave. We're behind a bit, but we're behind the kitchen doors again today here. The one show, the only show that takes you into Orange County's most interesting concept, the newest cuisine, the fashion trends, wherever the dining is going here in Orange County. And today, we're privileged to have with us, as always, the guy that started it, Chef Pascal.
Thank you. And today is Orange County and beyond.
Yeah, exactly. So we're trying something with Zoom today here, because the chef just finished up lunch somewhere at this new restaurant, and we're talking about a cool new concept that I was privileged to go up. They invited me to come up and try it. I said, we got to have them on the show. I don't know if you've been there yet. It's called, of all things, the craziest name in the world.
Culinary Dropout.
Culinary Dropout. Yeah. Why would you name a restaurant Culinary Dropout? Welcome, Chef Louis Chan. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Chef, how are you? Good. Thank you for being on the show.
You're not a culinary dropout, are you?
I finished culinary school, so I consider myself a dropout. But I am a dropout now.
Good for you. In general, my guest chef or restaurant owner, sole owners and chef on the owner's restaurant. But I like to bring in what's new in the world of dining. In a world of restaurant concept as well. And people never people talk about concept before, because either you were an Italian chef, you do open an Italian restaurant, you're a French chef, you open a French restaurant. But now you have entrepreneurs who create a group of a restaurant concept. And we're going to talk about that today.
It's a new world.
It's a new world. It's a new part of the restaurant economy. I really like that. But Chef Louis, you're going to tell me a little bit what it's all about.
Give the history and the concept of Culinary Dropout.
Sure. First of all, Chef, it's a pleasure to be on here with you. Just speaking with you is amazing.
Thank you.
Big fan of yours. And to describe Culinary Dropout, I think the name says it all, right? It definitely grabs your attention. And the way that the menu is created around, it's modern, it's laid back. You can come in here with board shorts, or you can come in here with a suit. We have something for everybody. And that's always the goal, our guest is always first. And what we try and do with our menu is be playful, but still with intention. So the focus is always on the flavor. And
the focus is always on the flavor. I love that one. So let's start with that concept here. What I found amazing and a little bit surprising to me was, yeah, it's like a lot of concepts today. It's fast. It's not the category, but it can be casual.
It's casual fine dining.
Casual fine dining. That's a better way to put it. And so
business casual.
Business casual. So I did see people, and it was packed. By the way, this thing's brand new. And I've never seen restaurants open as fast. And I got to give you a shout out. I wouldn't say this if I didn't mean it. It was the most organized opening I've ever seen. I was there like the first week. PR people invited us to come out and try it. So I did, to see if it was something we wanted to talk about. Because normally this show, I thought, wasn't about chains. You've got 16 of these things now. Normally I would think chains become predictable and boring. You were anything but predictable and boring. You had hamburgers and some unusual ones, and then you had sushi, as I recall, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, before Paul, our producer,
runs away with it here,
he's taking over the show. So I like to listen to your answers as well. And I'm very amazed that you are part of a group who the restaurants are diversified. I've seen you have different type of concept. Is that correct?
Yes, Chef. So we are a part of a much larger community of restaurants under the brand Fox.
The Fox restaurant concept, correct?
Fox restaurant concept, yes. Yeah. FRC. We're one of a larger family, and we're constantly evolving. And what we all have in common is flavor first, and we're all hospitality driven.
Yeah,
that's what we go by.
So it does involve a lot of training, I'm sure.
It does. And what I will say is I've opened restaurants in the past with other companies, and this is the first restaurant company that I've worked for that we have an entire team that flies out from all over the United States with trainers for every station, every department, and we spend weeks just training.
Is it on headquarters somewhere?
Where's the headquarters? Where are you based out of?
We're based out of Arizona.
Wonderful. And in California, you are the, I know you have one in of your concept in San Diego, correct?
We do. We opened number 15 in San Diego, 14 in San Diego, and we're number 16 now.
And you are in Orange, close to the circle, correct?
We're right around the circle, right outside of it.
And still on Chapman, or on what's the exact address?
We're on Orange. Orange and Maple.
Orange and Maple.
And I only, I'll interject for one more second, because it showed. I've been to many restaurant openings through the years. Most of them are chaotic. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're all apologizing. This was
We still have bits and pieces of chaos, but it's all controlled chaos.
It really was. My hat's off to you. That was one of the things in addition to a eclectic cuisine, an eclectic combination of items, hamburgers and sushi and other things, you had a very well-trained, friendly staff. I was visibly impressed.
And I look at your website, and it's a large restaurant, but it's not oversized. He has a nice terrace, a nice indoor, a nice bar.
And I think the space of our location has a lot to do with where we're at, right? We're right in the neighborhood, and our goal was to come in and have the neighbors love us, not to take over with a massive restaurant with maybe the patio being a little bit too large. But I think everything we have works really well with exactly where we are.
And you're in an area where you can get good dining, dinner business, but also you open at lunch as well, correct?
All day. We are open for brunch for Saturday and Sunday show.
Oh, not during the week?
Not during the week.
Okay, all right.
And how do you pick these locations? This concept is eclectic, fun, casual fine dining. How do you pick locations? Are they all
college? Actually, the chef want to call it business fine dining.
Business fine dining, okay.
In our headquarters, in our big kitchen, we have a team of, everyone has their specialties, and we definitely have people that on the team that find the locations that they think will work the best for our concepts. And depending on which one hits, that's the one that they start to talk about.
And if I went to all 16, would they all have the same menu, or would there be variation?
There are some changes in the menus from across the board. With everything that's on the core menu will stay the same, but for example, some of the locations in Scottsdale will have pizza instead of sushi. Some will have both, and some will have neither. Just depends on the clientele and what we think will be a good hit. And we'll change that part of the menu around it, but the core menu will always remain the same.
Are you reinventing the definition of comfort food? Because even now, sushi is becoming like a comfort food. You just want to have some fresh fish on rice. It's not just meatloaf.
Or hamburgers or pizza.
Yes. I don't think we're reinventing the wheel. I think we're taking the classic dishes.
But the idea that what you get at a casual place, comfort food.
We change the ingredients. We get just better ingredients, and the execution is just tighter. And the results shows, right? Like you get a burger from here versus somewhere else, you'll notice how much different our burger is cooked, just the flavors, how the barbecue sauce is made, is the bacon cooked properly? I think every single ingredient in the dish is managed to the highest quality. So that way the end result is exactly what we want, which is we strive for perfection, but we'll settle for a little less.
So because my show is called Behind the Kitchen Doors, do you have any little story you want to share, or maybe how to train a good kitchen staff? I'm sure you have a couple of things.
But I think
Chef Pascal just yelled at them a lot. That's what he did in his day. He yelled at them. They had to say was, "We chef,
we
yes,
chef.
Chef,
yes chef." I'm sure I've worked for chefs that were exactly like you, and I think that's what created the way that I am today. But I think now, obviously, time's a little different. And in my opinion, my humble opinion is that to have a location open up smooth and hit all the points that you want, it starts with the staff, honestly. And I hire our team a little different. I hire not based on talent, but based on their temperament, their attitude, if they want to learn. And the way that I like to look at it is I hire them based on things that I can't control. Can they show up to work on time? Do they have a notepad ready?
Yeah.
Do they understand what the end goal is?
Because you sounds like you run your own kitchen, but you still belong to a corporation. You have to do employees' reviews, and you have to give them some evaluation.
Training. Sure.
Training. And these days is very important. And so you have apprentice or people, because the good thing about being part of a group like yours, they have opportunities to grow in the company.
Yes.
When you have a single restaurant, it's kind of limited.
Yes, chef, and that's one of the things. I'm actually one of those people. I've worked for two other concepts in the company, and I've gone through the brands, and there's always opportunities when you have a company as big as FRC with new restaurants opening, new concepts popping up. And I think it gives the team some insight on, if I want to grow, there's endless opportunities with this company.
So let's go back to the corporate level. Do you meet with other chefs from the company?
I'm sorry, chef?
Do you meet with other chefs from other restaurants locations?
You all get together and...
Yeah, every once in a while, but we do menu training in Arizona, and... Typically, we'll bring all the chefs together for one region, and we'll prep, cook, talk about all the new dishes together with our director of culinary.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of insight and ask a lot of questions. So those are actually really fun. We get to just sit around and talk about food for 10 hours.
Not that we are here to, on the producer is always asking me, say, what's a new concept?
Yeah, what's new?
It's
what's
a new
coming?
Trend of food.
Where's the taste palate heading these days? Clearly, it's towards simpler, more comfort kind of food. Not when French, when Chef was doing his in the day, it was classic French cuisine.
Yes. I think the food scene is now gravitating back towards more comfort food, more food that people recognize from day to day. And there's just a bigger market for that now.
Yeah, as you say earlier, it's also about taste. And actually, maybe the making of the food is the same. The big title of the dish is the same. But the taste evolves, especially in California, on Pacific Coast. I can taste in restaurant now there's more flavors, more spices. And is that the way you are?
That is the way we are. We definitely always flavor first. Is always a priority. And with as many locations as we have with Culinary Dropout, the focus is always, if you get something here, does it taste the same when you go to Dallas? Does it taste the same when you go to Arizona or Colorado? And I think in that sense, we definitely always make sure that we are utilizing the freshest ingredients, talking to local purveyors, making sure that everything is done properly and made in-house.
But that wasn't always the case with chains. Chains were, they bought it in bulk, they shipped it to you, and there was very little variation, if any. And so it had a bland similarity to it. It wasn't just a taste.
It's not just bland, it's boring.
Right.
It's like out of a bag, or they just throw it in some water and call it a day.
And people want to go out for an experience, and I think that's what you sell.
Exactly.
And I think that's what separates us from our competitors, that when you come in at 11 o'clock and you get a fried chicken, the biscuits just came out of the oven about 15 minutes ago.
So it feels a one-off restaurant. It feels like somebody's restaurant here.
Yeah.
And yet
it's one of those things that you can't put your finger on, but you're just asking yourself, why is this so good?
Yeah.
Because it was just made.
So let me, for Chef's students, he's obviously closed Chef Pascal's place, which was here for 25 years. How long were you there? 30 years? 25 years? Over
the main restaurant they're open?
Yeah.
25 years.
25 years.
Number one is,
and from that, many of the great chefs in Orange County work there. Because where else would you go? There's only a handful of fine dining 25, 30 years ago in Orange County. It was just all fast food in suburbia. And so he's had people like the executive chef from the Pendry Hotel and others who worked with him or knew him or whatever before coming. He's lots of proteges. And now he teaches at Saddleback's brand new culinary training institute. Saddleback College has built a spectacular place to train future restaurateurs.
And by the way, a little on side note.
I got to come see you, chef.
We do it for apprenticeship, too.
Oh, there you go. So what he's always telling his students is, there's a new world out there. Don't just dream of owning Chef Paul, Chef Joe. You're going to own your restaurant, and it's going to be... That's still out there, but that's harder than ever. Costs and rents and labor and food and everything. More and more of these kids are going to come out to a world where they're doing food trucks or pop-ups or something, or working for corporations. There is a different opportunity. And the guy from the Pendry came and he said, I had my dream of having my own place, but I'll tell you what, not only do I get paid well and I get benefits, but there's opportunities to grow. And I can still experiment within the system. Can you still experiment within the system? Can you
I
still?
I think within reason, during menu training, we definitely talk a lot about the reason behind certain dishes and how they work. But we have a very strong culinary team with our culinary director that creates the menu. And they execute it with their vision, and they explain the whys to us, the chef team, and we just do everything we can to execute as close as possible.
I guess I'm saying, do you still feel creatively fulfilled? Do you get to try your own thing?
Yeah. Because you talk about the pantry. It's like, right. Actually, the culinary director is like a food and beverage manager. They have all of, they listen to what the corporation goal is, and then they share with the chef, and then the chef, you can always add your own little touch, I'm sure, because you do a lot of food testing, correct?
A little splash, your own little push.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with time, my goals change from, at one point I wanted to open a restaurant, at another point I wanted to just write menus, and now I'm at a point in my career where my goal is to just train and coach and cultivate and bring up new chefs and execute the vision properly and explain the whys of the reasoning behind what we do, why we do all the dishes and the restaurants.
You'll have to have them come over and talk to your students.
That's
your class.
Yeah, you should come and visit the Saddleback College Culinary Division. And
it's huge. There's an old military base. If you're from Orange, I know, were you originally from Orange County, or did you live somewhere
else? LA County. We moved out here.
So there was a huge Marine El Toro, not El Toro, the other Marine base that was down here. Yeah. They converted it into housing and something, and a bunch of it was given to the community colleges, Irvine, Saddleback, and stuff. And they built this spectacular ATEP Center, which I forgot, automotive technology and something. And they built these state-of-the-art kitchens and these state-of-art auto tech places to do technical trade school kind of stuff, as opposed to just the community college stuff. So it's really quite big. It just opened recently, and chefs teaches there.
You know. We opened about 4 months.
4 months ago, yeah. So
Jeff, I'll wait for my invite.
Yeah, I think you'd be a great because there's more career paths. I've never been a chef, but to me, I've always loved going out to eat and dine. I was a restaurant writer for years for some papers. There's more opportunity today to be a chef. You can be a private chef. You can do a food truck. You could do all sorts of crazy things that didn't exist when you were around, Chef Pascal. There really was just one path. You worked for somebody or you opened your own place.
Yeah, and years ago, in the restaurant business, everybody wanted to be a server. Why? Because they made cash tips every day.
Right, exactly.
And cooks were not paid well. And now cooks and chef and sous chef can make a better living these days. Sometimes it's not enough for them, but it's
getting
better.
When you guys came out from behind the kitchen doors. You were the first, at least in Orange County, to start coming out. We never met the chefs in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
You started becoming personalities. Wow. You came out, you put your name out on the door, but you came out from behind the kitchen door and talked to people.
I learned that from my background because I work in Michelin Stars restaurant. And the chef, because they say, hey, my name is on the front door, so I better need to see what my guests are thinking about my food.
And not just push the food out.
I want to know them, too. And then more and more, I think chefs are involved into the dining room and meet the people that enjoy their food. And
I hope they let you do that there, because I think that's an important part of the experience, to meet the chef, to shake his hand, to say, why'd you do this and how great that was.
I try and make some appearances in the dining room once in a while, especially if a guest has an allergy or anything like that. I just love to touch base and really let them know that we understand what they need. And
you know what I like to do, because I'm a chef? When I look at a menu, your menu is fairly large, no? And but you have food from the land, food from the sea.
Right.
That's what division is divided like that, correct?
And, yes, sir.
And then, but I always like to say, hey, chef choice. No?
And chef's menu.
Chef menu. And then surprise me, give me a three course like a macassé. Do you do that sometimes?
You ever go off the menu?
Unfortunately, we don't do that. We don't really do anything off the menu. We do everything we can to accommodate.
Oh, no. But you can make your own the selection suggestion. I'm sure your staff
Of course. They always ask, what's your favorite? What's your go-to? And I always give them my top picks.
Yes.
So what's your top picks at Culinary Dropout? What should people absolutely try if they go there? Because you have some really normal stuff, but some very eclectic stuff, too.
And we do. We have a nice array of menu items. So the pretzels and fondue is definitely a go-to.
Oh,
pretzels in-house. Yeah, we make our pretzels in-house. It comes out in a hot stob with a little candle under it to keep it lit.
Cool.
Our pork ribs are one of our favorites. Definitely the meatloaf Sloppy Joe version for happy hour. It's like a small little Sloppy Joe sandwich.
Can I stop you for 1 second? I'm old enough to remember. I'm at Chef Pascal's range here. Meatloaf was what my mother served me in the Midwest. I've seen it everywhere. Meatloaf has made a huge comeback on fine dining restaurants on menus. Yes. It's appeared. Yeah. It was only at my mother's house or my friend's mother's house. How did meatloaf get? Is it just that trend towards comfort and familiar food here?
I think that's exactly what it is. And to give people some familiarity to a menu that they can look at and go, okay, let's see what that's like. And I think with our name already being a little different, they look at things on our menu and they just get
these are culinary dropouts.
I think it's a risk-free dish because it's not like ordering a steak. You want to have it rare, medium rare, or medium. A meatloaf is fully cooked and you have your good protein right there with a lot of flavors.
That's probably good. That's probably true. I found it to be fresh. I thought it to be fun. It was packed. It was well-trained. It was well-executed. It's a well-run concept. And here's my greatest compliment to you. If I hadn't known it was a concept, meaning they're multiple, I would have thought it was a one-off. I didn't feel like I was in a corporate factory here, like too many chains. Nothing wrong with the Cheesecake Factories of the world and everything. I go there and eat sometimes too. But you're in a production line.
I will say restaurant concept group don't like to be called chain. They're not a chain.
No, because they don't want that feeling that it's all shipped from somewhere and it's all just dull. And
you can tell each place has their own chef.
Yes, so,
and that's
true.
There's always that touch, always that little chef touch into it, the flair.
I'm going to throw this out. Maybe this is more than you want to talk about here, but chefs talk about on other shows. When he was around, you started, in the 80s and stuff here?
Mid-80s, yes.
Yeah. Mid-80s. That's when I came of age and up in Hollywood and eating at your friends Michelle Richards and all those kinds of places and stuff here. And the whole idea was one restaurant, one success, maybe a satellite location or a mini location, but that was it. There weren't 12 of them. Wasn't going to go across the country, by and large. Now, with the cost being what it is to start a restaurant, millions of dollars.
Yes.
It almost seems like you can't make your money back if you're an investor in the first one. You got to hit a home run. You got to find a concept that I can take nationwide. And that's where the payoff comes. Is that true? Is that too harsh to say? Is it hard to be?
Are you talking to me or to Chef Lewis?
I'll start with you. Is it hard to be a one-off fine dining?
It's very hard to be a one-off because it's a lot of work for one person. Because if you're a chef, not just the chef cooking, you have to do all the payrolls, all the
marketing.
Size work, marketing. But when you have a chance to work in a corporation with a progressive, but also have people inside the corporation that help you managing the restaurant and controlling the cost and the buying and the purchasing. So it make a big difference.
So I guess I'm saying is places like this group that you work for, is this the future of fine dining?
I think so. As long as in your concept and your group, they are looking for quality and taste. It's just not volume and easiness. Your menu is not an easy menu.
No.
It has some complexity, and that you have to have a chef with skill to make sure everything comes out right.
And my other question is, are we back to bigger menus again? Because for a while we were back to, you probably did a pretty small menu. Handful of things we do over and over again. But the public has a wider taste palette. What do you think, Chef Lewis, are we back to bigger menus? Yours is a pretty big menu.
I think our menu is a good size. It has definitely enough options to please the crowd. I don't see the culinary scene going into massive menus like there's Barney's Beanery, like those places where they got
Barney's Beanery. Remember Barney's
front
Beanery?
And back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember that when I was a kid growing up, just like, I don't even know what to order.
But there are also places, the really fine dining, like the Michelle Richards or something back up in the day, they had pretty small menus.
They have small menus, but also that you can be a la carte or prefix or three, four courses menu.
Yeah, a lot of the restaurants that I worked for in the past, my history is majority been just fine dining and smaller restaurant groups in L.A. So I'm very used to just one page, six items, seven items with a wine pairing or a tasting menu. But also put a limit to what you can get. I think what we're doing now is we're finding that happy medium between just a large enough menu so that way if a 20 top comes in, there's something on there for every single person to enjoy.
Yeah. And I have to say now, with all the technology on the internet, now you have a beautiful website, and you can already pre-select your menu on their website. And
oh, really?
No, on your own.
Yeah.
You say you navigate the menu.
I think the other thing that drives chains is not just spreading out costs and getting a longer, more payoff from more locations. It's purchasing in quantity. It's all the corporate control policies of sexual harassment trainings and things that you got to do today here. It's all of the marketing and websites and iTech and all that stuff. It would be hard to do that as a one-off restaurant. At that 100%. Level.
I think with 16 locations, you have a little bit more buying power than just being a single unit.
That is true, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Totally. I was impressed enough to they invited us and said, no promise, I'll come taste it and see it. I'm the bird dog here. And then I came back to said to Chef, this is one we should talk to. It's an interesting, fun thing.
Yeah, I got to come out and say hi to you guys.
Yes, and please come back. And then also I will... For sure, I will stop by soon, especially when I go to the farmer's market close to you where you are.
And bring him to...
Oh, yeah, Chef, please.
Bring him to school here, too. Chef's going to be at next week.
At the OC Baking Company, who's not far from where you are.
I don't know if they're a purveyor of yours.
I know Dean pretty well. He's one of our local purveyors.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Okay.
I know Dean for a long time.
He was just on the show talking about how he built that business kind of by accident.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And how he has turned this into a passion and a niche that he's found to
OC
do.
OC Baking Company became bigger than you wish, but he's happy about it.
And he told the story of how he sold it. Somebody came in and bought it, and then he saw what they were going to do to it, and they were going to scale
no
it.
Way.
And he took it back. He said, I'm giving your money back. And he said, you crazy? I'm giving you a ton of money. He says, I don't want to kill what we created.
Yes, great.
Interesting. All right, the very interesting story. Chef Lewis, how do they find you? What's the website? Give us the plug again on the place.
Let's see. You can definitely find us at frc.com. Culinary Dropout is all over Yelp and all over Instagram. You can find us on all those channels.
And in a very competitive market, which Orange is, it was packed. Brand new restaurant. Says a lot right there.
Did we... I've got an answer to why we call it Dropout.
Oh, we never said why this crazy name. Yeah. Just to be different?
I think that's the way that the menu is created, the way the concept is created. We're like the pirates of the entire brand. Like
the renegades, the anti.
We have games, we have drinks. We're just a little bit different, and that's how we became the Dropouts.
You haven't been to Chef Pascal's training of fine dining and his rigid standards of where to put the fork and all the stuff here. And
I'm sure they do it. But I have to say, besides the food, too, I look at your... liquor menu, cocktail menu, your wine list.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Everything is well taken care of. Yes.
All right, from Chef Pascal to us, there you go. That's what better endorsement can you get here? Go check it out.
Are you open for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Not Christmas Day, Chef, just Christmas Eve.
We were talking about that earlier. Is anybody open on Christmas Day? Probably not. Everybody
closes. What about New Year's Eve?
New Year's, I'm sure it'll be jammed, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be busy for New Year's. Sure.
All right, look for Pascal. He'll probably come out and look you up, and let's definitely have you back again as the concept grows and evolves and see how Southern California adapts to it. From what I could see, very well. Congratulations, and look forward
Thanks
to having
so
you
much.
Back some
it
more
It was
here
nice again. To meet you or know more
yeah.
about you. See you
Pleasure
soon.
To meet you.
Thank you.
Hang on. Don't hang up here. We'll come back and get some info from you. Hang on.
Okay.
There you have it, the latest and greatest from concepts to find, what do we call it? Fun cuisine for casual fine dining? Business fine dining. It's a strange world. It's changing rapidly. Behind the kitchen doors, join us as we chronicle that change and that scene right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.